Hello, you're listening to Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. I'm Laura Evans and this is the Brighton Business Show. Broadcasting monthly, you can hear from local entrepreneurs, find out about schemes you could be taking advantage of, hear about events you might want to attend and pick up tips from business experts. Our sponsor is Entrepreneurial Spark, powered by NatWest. On today's show, John Young tells us about the upcoming Newsroom Business Bootcamp. It's all change at Entrepreneurial Spark. Fiona Anderson tells us about that. Gail Bainbridge fills us in on the Time to Give ball. Jessica Cheatham is here from Always Possible to talk about their competition. And regular contributors, Sophie Turton is talking about public speaking. Julia Chanteray's Tales of Everyday Business Folk continues. And the elevator pitch. Listen in to find out what that's about and maybe you could give it a go. You're listening on 97.2 FM, DAB Radio, or on our RadioReverb.com radio player online. Did you know you can listen to the podcast and catch up on previous shows and subscribe? Don't miss out. Search The Brighton Business Show on iTunes or visit laura-brighton.podomatic.com. You know what's coming first? It's the local business news from around Brighton and Sussex. Plug your business on the radio, send me your business news, tweet me at Laura of Brighton or visit lauraofbrighton.co.uk for all the details about how to get involved with the show. Get your head around your Google Analytics and what your website and app users need. Luke Hay has recently published his book, Researching UX Analytics. It's now available to buy on Amazon or check out Luke's website at lukehay.co.uk. Acumen Business Convention is coming up on the 16th of May. Think lunch, wine, great speakers, workshops and networking with 300 delegates, running 12 to 7pm at the Grand Hotel. Book before it sells out at acumenbusinesslaw.co.uk. Congratulations to Dab Apps, who built the rather lovely app for May's Brighton Fringe Festival. See it for yourself by downloading it at the App Store or Google Play. And another congratulations to BozBoz, who will be rebuilding the Wired Sussex website. Nice to see some really interesting local digital projects going on. So a bit of a short news section this month, but I've got loads of people on the show, really busy show. Do stay in touch with your news and send me your news and I'll give you a plug on next month's show.
Radio Reverb is Brighton's radio station, entirely run by volunteers and firmly rooted in the city's community.
We are a non-profit organisation. No adverts, no disc jockeys, just real people.
Making radio that Brighton deserves.
Time for the elevator pitch challenge. Pitch your business in a minute. Can you explain who you are, what you do and why anyone should care? Today's guest, are you ready? Ready, set, go.
I'm Elizabeth, the director and founder of OffeyCrash.com. We're an Ofsted registered nursery near Brighton Station, right by Seven Dials. We provide excellent and truly flexible childcare for modern families who want to juggle family and work life, finding a balance that keeps everyone sane. Our difference is that once you've settled your child, you can book a session for them online. For as little as 2 hours and up to a day, you can cancel your session up to 48 hours before it starts with no financial penalty, and you don't need to use us every week. We find a childcare solution that suits families where the parents work shifts, contracts, seasonally, or run their own businesses. You can leave your child in our nursery and work on your laptop upstairs with a bunch of other interesting parents all trying to juggle with the same issues. Or you can go off-site. You don't need to use our co-working space to access our amazing childcare. We're a great community of staff and parents, innovating childcare to fit our lives today. Come and have a look around.
That was really well timed. Perfect. You've been practicing.
I did, well, since, you know, at 20 past 10. Oh, sorry, yeah, 20 past 10. And with my with the guys in the co-working space, actually, and some parents, I was like, right, I've got to do this elevator pitch. Tell me what I've got to do. So they tweaked it slightly.
That's really good that you can have that kind of community space to practice with other businesses. And you must see a lot of these businesses and how important it is for them to be able to say what they do in a short period of time in a very coherent manner.
Yeah, and it is. And it's really, and it's also that about that support. So when you're sharing a co-working space like that, particularly in our space, there are lots of co-working spaces in Brighton, but we can network and help each other with our own business issues. But also you can have a good rant about what's kept you up, you know, with a picky child or whatever else it is.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful space as well. I think it's that's an interesting piece around the co-working space is really stylish. A member who was a stylist did it for us in exchange for childcare hours. So it was a bit of a skills barter. So you end up with these parents, mostly mothers, but we've got some fathers too, coming in, and you feel basically sort of grown up and glamorous and stylish, even if you've got baby puke on your shoulder, which is, I don't know, it's an intangible benefit.
It's quite challenging, I guess, to have a family and a business. And this is a way for people maybe to feel a bit less lonely doing that.
Definitely. That loneliness, that isolation is hugely. I mean, you talk to any freelancer or an entrepreneur, and lots of people go and work in cafes, you know, and be able to get. But it's also the chat that isn't about business that is really important, just so you can talk about what you've read on the news or come in, you know, post-Brexit vote or post-Trump and, you know, be able to rant. We've got a fantastic Austrian member who just goes, Schadenfreude, she says, whenever anything rubbish happens in the world.
And just the logistics as well. This is helping people with the logistics of childcare.
The logistics is what, you talk to any parent, I swear logistics is what wears families down. It is the fact that you spend your time, if you have a partner who's involved in the childcare, you spend the time, you know, talking about what, who's going to do what and how it's going to work. Will each of you try and fulfil your ambitions in terms of work and vocation? And if you can have anything to help you with that, that frees you, just gives you more energy to enjoy the family life rather than getting through it in order to earn the money to afford it.
And is this what kind of inspired you to start up? You saw this issue and...
Oh, well, I was really naive. It was 5 years ago. So my eldest is 7 now. And when she was about 6 months old, I worked freelance. I worked as a corporate change facilitator. I used to help travel all over the place. And I used to hand her off to my mother or a mate who I paid, or a bit of traditional nursery. But a nursery you need to commit to the same hours every week for 52 weeks of the year. So it's a real... You know, it's just not everyone's lives fit into that. Some people do, but not everyone's lives. So I thought, I'll just get a bit of flexible childcare. I was like, what? No, nobody does this. So I was naive. I thought, I can't believe nobody does this. I now know why they don't, because it's an incredibly difficult thing to provide. It's down to the standard of the childcare professional. So they have to be really good at and full of initiative and perky enough to be able to look after different kids each day and maybe not see a child for 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and be able to work out how to keep them happy and develop that relationship. So there's that. And, you know, there's no money in it. There's this very, very thin margins, I would say. But it is incredibly, you know, we have helped hundreds of families, and that's an amazing thing. And they've gone on to, I know people coming out of maternity leave, particularly, we've got a particular group at the moment of mothers who are business owners. So we've got a sub-networking group that's around pregnancy and postnatal yoga for your business, basically. Because, you know, there are issues. How do you take maternity leave? How do you pay yourself? When do you come back if it's you being the director of the business? So we provide, you know, there are lots of ways that we support that community. But yeah, I was in the state and I created it. By the time my second child came along, I found the premises, I got pregnant, realised I had to make it work fast. So I had a sort of deadline on my hands. So we launched in September 2011 and Max was born in October. I thought maybe I could give birth at the launch party, but even I'm not that bold. could have got good press though.
That would have been amazing. Imagine the coverage you would have got.
Oh. Yeah, I think yeah.
That would have gone viral for sure. Great. I mean, what's your website, just for anyone listening if they want to check you out?
It's offycresh.com. I mean, we kind of do what we say on the tin. It's office and creche stuck together. OFFICRECHE.com. But we're not a creche, we're a nursery. We're properly registered and excellent.
Yeah.
We're not a creche. And you don't need to use the office part. So kind of say what we do on tin, but really excellent, flexible childcare. That's what we do.
I'll put a link in the copy, in the show copy, so if anyone wants to go and have a look down there. Do have a listen to the show, Liz, later, because there's a package that I'm going to be playing where I'm speaking to a woman that runs a company called Fitter Mama, which might be quite interesting.
I may well know her as well, to be honest.
And which is a product for pregnant women who still want to exercise, basically. But Liz, thank you very much for coming in.
Oh, you're welcome. And we'll be following you on Twitter and Instagram. We like to scratch a few backs.
Thank you. Cheers.
Bye.
Help support us by making a donation.
We're a non-profit organisation run entirely by volunteers.
No matter how big or small the amount, your help is essential to keep us on air and independent.
Donate now. Click the yellow donate button at radioreverb.com.
Right, time for some more tales of everyday business folk. Catherine's story continues.
Catch up with Catherine enjoying a pint of strange tasting Burning Sky beer in the craft beer company in Brighton, paid for by her dad.
I just don't understand it. You were always moaning about having to get up early and get on the train to London, and now you're moaning about not having to. Why on earth would you want a job?
Catherine's dad, who we'll call Pete, almost spits out the word job in his disgust at the idea. To pay the rent, Dad. Catherine takes a long pull at her pint and smiles. It's all right for you. You've made your money, your mortgage is paid off, and you only have to work a couple of days a week since you got the new manager in. But I haven't even got a mortgage yet, and those cats need to be fed. And I feel rubbish not having a job and not having anything to do.
Well, if you're looking for something to do, you could rewrite our website for us. And there's that social media to look after. I did what you said and set up a Twitter account for the business, but none of the guys in the office have really got a clue about how to use it. Tweeting about their favourite sandwich fillings and such like. How's that going to get us more customers?
Pete runs an engineering company in Uckfield, making high-end vacuum pumps for medical equipment. He's had the company for 30 years and is semi-retired now, but can't resist popping into the office every week. Catherine looks at her phone and winces slightly when she sees the company's Twitter account. Well, I guess it won't matter too much when you've only got 13 followers and there's been no tweets since December. She drinks some more of the Burning Sky and then remembers that it's 7.8% proof and it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And your website? What happened to all those changes I recommended? This looks like it was built 10 years ago and hasn't changed since then.
We did build it 10 years ago, remember? You said it looked cool.
Yes, Dad. But you can update websites, you know, with photos of new lines, maybe a product list, online ordering, that sort of thing. Pete's eyes glaze over as his daughter talks more about how his website should be working for him, establishing the brand, doing different versions for their main export markets.
Funny you should say that, actually.
He interrupts.
We had a woman in the other day, and she was saying the same thing. I think it was the same. I'm not sure if I caught all of it, to be honest. You know me, I like to look after the finances and talk directly to the customers about what they need.
Well, that's great, Dad, but I bet there are all sorts of customers out there who would love to buy from you, but they're not going to if they see this piece of crap. There's not even any SEO being done on your site. Your title tag says home. Catherine shudders.
That's pretty much what she said too, although she was a bit more polite about it, mind.
Who's this woman?
She came to see me and Dave the other day, talking about joined-up marketing strategies and realising the full potential of the international market. Julia, she was called. She helps small businesses like ours, specialises in companies with less than 30 employees, helps them grow. Dave got her in. He's the one with the appetite for growth now. I'm too old for that sort of thing.
Sounds like she was talking sense. Didn't you like her?
She was nice enough, and she did talk sense, but I don't know if I've got the fight for it now. I think Dave wants to get her to help us, but he probably wanted me to meet her so I'd accept her ideas when he wants to get going with it all.
Interesting.
Anyway, she wants us to redo the website, and we'll need it all rewritten. So if you're looking for something to do, you could rewrite all the copy, do some of that SEO. I'll pay you in beer.
Pete gets up and goes to the bar. Cat food. I want to be paid in cat food and beer. Catherine smiles and passes her dad her glass for a refill. Well, what's going to happen next? Can you guess who Julia is? Will Catherine rewrite her dad's website? Will the cats get fed? Find out next time on Tales of Everyday Business Folk.
That was Tales of Everyday Business Folk from Julia Chanteray. Thank you to Patrick Woodward for recording the part of Pete there. Check out the show copy for a link to his website. He is a professional voiceover artist, as you can probably tell. I'm Laura Evans. This is the Brighton Business Show. You are listening to Radio Reverb on 97.2 FM, on DAB Radio, online at radioreverb.com, or via podcast. Just search iTunes or visit laura-brighton.podomatic.com. Now joining me in the studio is John Young to tell us about an exciting course he is running in Brighton. I'll let him tell you the details. Hi, John.
Hello, Laura.
How are you?
Very well, very well.
Good. Just for anyone listening who doesn't know you, tell us a bit about what you actually do.
Well, I do two things. 2 days a week, I'm a newsreader and a local reporter for the local TV news. But I set up a business three or so years ago, which is great fun. And what I'm doing at the moment is I'm going into workplaces and building resilience and confidence in small teams. Now, that sounds boring, but the fun bit is I do it by creating a television newsroom in a workspace. So I come in with the camera, with the auto cue, with the kit, and we play various games, we watch clips, we play games, all creating a world of news. So you'll be deciding between news stories and groups, and then suddenly a phone will ring and someone will have to answer that phone, and there'll be a dilemma, and then there'll be a deadline, and then there'll be another crisis, and so it will go on. So at the end of it, what you've got is a team who may be in fairly routine work. Managers tend to employ me and say, I've got a bunch of 20, 25 people and I want something different. I don't want to take them to an assault course. I don't want to scare them, but I want something different that's going to be fun, but where they will feel a bit more confident about their decisions, a bit more confident about their timing, a bit more confident about being able to write something in a report for me. That's what I do.
Brilliant. Are you bringing a bit like some real excitement into companies? And I think depending on the kind of job you have, some people might find their jobs a little bit repetitive, and or like you say, find some of these corporate days out a bit terrifying, or no one can quite agree, can they, on where to go?
No, I think you're right. And a lot of people have said to me, as in fact, Laura, you did earlier before we switched the mic on, that, you know, an away day could be a team building thing, could be paintballing or something. And I'm sure that's great for some people, but it's not for everyone. Mm. And I think a lot of managers don't really want to hire a minibus and take people out into that environment. They want something in their own environment, but that's still going to be fun. And arguably, I would argue the case, as I created the business, that perhaps has some more instant benefits.
Yeah.
Meeting that deadline, writing that report effectively, making a decision, and having confidence in a debate to hold your own.
Yeah, because it's all very well building a boat out of barrels and everything, but you're not going to use those skills so much in the workplace. I mean, it's a bit of fun team building, but this is the mixture of the fun team building, but there's real skills there. You can clearly see that there's some skills.
Yes, and at the end of the session, for the first couple of hours, maybe if it's, say, a three-hour session, it's all, I'm bringing the material and we're playing all the games, but the last hour would be, okay, let's translate this into something you need to do. So I want you now to write that report or decide between these priorities, guided by the manager who may have got me in.
Yeah, brilliant. And it sounds like you can do quite a large group too.
Yes, I basically do two things. One, an employer can get me in and say, right, I've got a team of 15, 20. That's a good kind of number. I can do more, I can do less, but under 15, and it tends to, the energy tends to change. And that's one way of doing it. But I also run sessions one-to-one. So if there are individual business owners out there who don't have a team but think, it sounds interesting, I run sessions, call it Newsroom Bootcamp for Business. I've got one coming up at the Grand, at the Nightingale Rooms at the Grand Central pub. Fantastic venue. Have you ever been there, Laura?
Yes. Oh, it's amazing. It's so theatrical. It's like it's got a gin bar, hasn't it?
It's got a gin bar upstairs with booths. So we break out into the booths for all the decision making, and but it's also got a projector for the kind of for the bigger stuff. Anyway, I've got a session there Friday the 21st of April. Am I allowed to do the plug here with the numbers?
Plug away.
Okay, £75. You get lunch, you get coffee, you get 3 to 4 hours, plus a bit of networking with other businesses. And that's aimed at individuals or maybe a pair of people to come along. And A, you network, and B, you think quickly and do all this fun stuff with other people who you may not have met before. So again, you can come away from that feeling, yeah, I held my own in a debate with people I've never met before. And I really thought about some ideas, and I read off that auto cue, and I never thought I'd have the courage. So it's a lot of fun. That's Friday the 21st of April, and it's, 75 quid for the lunch, 65 quid if you want to leave early and skip the lunch.
So, and how many people would you expect along to that? Because it sounds like a really good opportunity to network.
Yeah, we're having to hold it down to 25 at the moment, because any more and it just gets a bit too crowded.
Yeah.
But anything, as I say, between about 15 and 25, and you've just got a great buzz. It's a lot of fun.
And people really should follow you to check if you're doing them. I assume that you're going to kind of do these periodically.
That's right. Did one in January. Now I've got this one in April. Got another one lined up in July. I'm in working conjunction with Jill Wolfe of Chimera PR, Chimera Communications. So that's a lot of fun working with her, I must say. And we put a lot of energy into it, and it's certainly different. There are no PowerPoints with slides, I'm telling you that much. That's not our style.
It sounds like people, I'm energised just listening to you, John, and people must be having a lot of fun doing these sessions.
Laura, I'm sure you have too, and I'm sure many of our listeners have been to presentations where you have coffee and you have a Danish and you sit down and someone talks at you. And they keep saying, oh, we're about to do something. It never quite happens. And when you do, it's just actually sitting around making a few notes. And there have been a lot of slides with graphs. I've sat through those too, which is why I thought, this doesn't work. Which is why what you get with me is, I'll give a secret. I've got up my sleeve. Remember the Oscars moment?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to play the Oscars moment. And we're going to have a debate about it. So when I see fun stuff, I involve it in my stuff, because TV is very unifying.
Mm-hmm.
It's entertaining, and it creates a lot of talking points. You know, if you're producing a program, what's more important, the budget, or a crisis in Somalia, or a healthcare crisis in your hospital, or something upbeat? So these are the things we weigh up when we're figuring out what to put in our news program in my Newsroom Bootcamp for Business.
Yeah, sounds awakening, because, I mean, the boredom and tedium that people might fall into day to day is a bit of a creativity killer, isn't it? Let's face it.
And we've all been there, and part of my other job as a news reporter, there are duller bits of that as well. We all have routine stuff at work, but I think the more you can bring in a bit of fun to it, the better.
Yeah. So just for listeners, what's the website? How can they find out more?
Website, johnyoungmedia, all one word, .co.uk, at John Young Media on Twitter. I'm also on Facebook. My event with Jill Wolfe from Chimera Communications, Friday the 21st of April in central Brighton. I'm not a big corporate thing. I don't have an 08445 number. If you get in touch, you won't get a team of people asking you to stay on hold. You know, you ring me. I'm a one-man band with Jill helping me promote this. And that's the way I like it.
Excellent. Check out the copy for a link. I'll put a link to the event in there so people can book straight on. Hurry
Thank
up.
You.
It will sell out by the sound of it, so you better get in there. John, thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you. It's been great fun, and good luck with your programme. I'm going to become a regular listener now. This is what Brighton needs, I think.
Cheers, John. Cheers.
97.2 FM.
Radio Reverb.
This is the Brighton Business Show. Our sponsor is Entrepreneurial Spark, and I am joined in the studio by Fiona Anderson, who is telling us about some big changes there. Hi, Fiona.
Hi, Laura.
How are you doing?
Yeah, good, thank you.
So Entrepreneurial Spark, anyone who's been listening to the show should understand a lot more kind of about what it is, because we've had you on quite regularly, and we've had these packages from people who are part of the programme kind of talking about what it is and how it's kind of a hothouse. Rather than kind of re-explain what it is, we're going to talk about some of the changes and what it's becoming now.
Yeah.
So
brilliant. Thank you.
All change.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. This year there has been quite a few changes in February. The programme, since we launched in Brighton 18 months ago, was very focused on very early stage startup businesses, really helping them to grow and scale and validate their businesses. And businesses could come in, use the office space, get the free Wi-Fi access, free office space, and access to a coach, business coach, to really grow and scale and validate their business. And what Entrepreneurial Spark and NatWest have done now, we've actually realized that we were limiting the number of businesses that we could work with, and also potentially alienating some of the higher growth businesses that are really key to the wider economy, so to helping them. So the program has changed from the beginning of February, in that we are now not only helping the very early stage startup businesses, but also the higher growth businesses that are really maybe been in business a few years, have raised some investment and are turning over a few hundred thousand pounds. So as at February this year, we've rolled out a program where people can come in, be part of the program for an initial 3 months, where they will get access to group sessions, really focusing on validating their business, who's their customer, do they have a product that somebody is going to buy. And then at the end of the 3 months, there will be people who will then, a certain number who will be invited to come in, and actually they can use the hub space, have access to all of the events that we run, and participate in the collaborative work environment. There are still businesses that are growing and scaling that have been with us for about a year. Some of them are staying on. So overall, the program now, you can have up to 21 months worth of coaching and access to the office space and events. But at the end of the day, it really is about those high growth businesses and people being really engaged in the program and benefiting from everything that's put on for them.
So it sounds like businesses can get involved a lot faster. You know, they can drop out of the commitment sooner if it's not for them and potentially stay longer.
Yeah, absolutely. And businesses can actually dip out and in of the various stages as well. So if somebody joins us for the initial 3 months, they realize I've got a lot of work to do to go away, work on my business, grow it, validate it. They can then apply for one of the later stages and come back in for 6 to 12 months and benefit from the program on an ongoing basis. So it's not so structured now in terms of a 6, 12, or 18 month program. People can dip out and in depending on what stage their businesses are at.
And previously you've had this every kind of 6 months or so, you've had an application and an intake process, but this will work in a way that people could possibly just apply and get on there that initial 3 months at any time.
So the applications have actually opened now again this week for our next intake, which is in May. So we've got people need to apply on the Entrepreneurial Spark website, which is www.entrepreneurial-spark.com. I know it's very long-winded.
I'll put a link in the copy so people
can
brilliant.
Check it out. So next intake will be in May. We will be accepting between 40 and 50 early stage businesses, but people can also apply for the later stages if their businesses are growing and scaling and they really want that more focused help. So yeah, as you said, there isn't such regimented application process now. The applications literally are open every month or so, so people can just check out the website and apply on the website.
Excellent. I'm going to go into playing a package now as well, because I know you've got a lot of success stories.
Yeah, we have.
From your even just 18 months.
Yeah, we have. We've got the impact that we've made in Brighton has actually been immense. And Entrepreneurial Spark launched the impact report a few weeks ago, which if I can just touch a little bit on some of the stats from there and then bring it more back down to Brighton as well. So countrywide, there's been £176 million worth of investment raised from the businesses that have gone through the program. Those businesses have been in excess of 3,000 businesses, and there's been £152 million worth of turnover raised from those businesses. There's also been over 3,000 jobs that have been created, which is significant, especially with a lot of focus now on the unemployment rates around the country. And it really is proof that businesses benefiting from our program actually stay in business, contribute to the economy by generating jobs and generating turnover. In Brighton, we've actually, in the 18 months we've been here, our businesses have raised, there's been 300 businesses that have gone through the program. They've raised almost £7 million worth of investment. An investment isn't only equity investment. Some of that is funding through the bank. Some of it is also they've got angel investors and people like that. And there's been over 300 jobs that have been created as well. A lot of that has been through our partnership with University of Sussex and University of Brighton, we've participated in their internship program. So there's been a lot of their graduates and students that have come along and have really helped our businesses as well to grow. So, yeah, the stats are significant and we're very proud of them.
Yeah, it sounds amazing. I mean, you've done so much in such a short period of time. Yeah. And how exciting for you to see all these businesses come in and change and grow and develop. And
it has been, and for me especially, because I have been with the program from the start. So I started this role nearly 2 years ago, and yeah, to see the progression of a lot of our businesses from when they were very early stage, just with an idea, and are now employing two or three people. You know, they have an income and they're able to sustain themselves. It has been very rewarding, I must say.
Brilliant. I'm going to play the package from one of your chiclets now, but Fiona, thanks very much for coming in and telling us about the changes.
Thank you very much, Laura.
I'm Alex from Fitamama, and we design the world's first range of supportive maternity and postnatal fitness wear. And we run a website which has all the resources a woman will need to stay active and healthy during and after pregnancy. My sister-in-law was pregnant, and she was quite young, and while she was very overjoyed about being pregnant, she had a real disconnect with her body, saying, you know, she felt like, I'm 22 and I look 42, and she didn't, but like in her head she lost the control over being able to be active, and the advice she was receiving was that she needed to stay active, and she just couldn't, like, she was exhausted, she was holding the bump up with her hands, and I was looking for something for her, to give her a gift, you know, of something to help her overcome this and stay as active as she wanted to be, and just nothing existed. And then the more I looked, the more I could find other people were looking for the same product that didn't exist, and using that idea, I did a postgraduate diploma and researched it and saw the worldwide potential and need for it. Do a lot of research, make sure that it's not just that you think it's a good idea. And, you know, we often can exist in an echo chamber and you're like, I've got this great idea. And someone's like, yeah, you should definitely do that. But actually make sure that you should definitely do it. Like, I researched Fitamama for several years before I started the business. It meant that I had an idea of market size and the fact that we really needed to be looking internationally as well as in the UK. Look at being able to be a part of a program such as eSpark, because that level of discipline of what's your business, what problem are you solving, who's your market, how to get to it, how to differentiate yourself, what do you want to achieve from when you meet people. So you've been really clear on that and not spreading yourself too thin, because it is super easy to scattergun your time. And when you start a business and there's not many people working in it at that point, you've got, your to-do list is never ending, and you can end up working like crazy but not progressing yourself very far. So since we've started, we've been drilling down a focus on what are the best strategies for growth for the business, and also whilst simultaneously seeking investment funding for the business to help take it to the next level. You're looking, taking a step back and having a bit of a bird's eye view with your enabler, and looking at the weaknesses and the areas of strength and how you can develop the business structure is one set of like fantastic support that they offer. The other side being the community space of being here with a lot of other entrepreneurs, some of which are at the same kind of level of you, facing the same kind of challenges. Some of them are looking at you know, several steps ahead of you, and some people are behind that you can then share your knowledge with and hopefully help them avoid any of the mistakes that you've gone through. So being part of something is just very energizing. It's super friendly, and everyone shares in each other's successes. Even if you're, you know, we do competitions within the hatchery and we compete against each other, you don't really care who wins, if it's you or them, because we're all winning together, if that doesn't sound too cheesy. When you know it's somebody who's been really struggling with a problem and then they've overcome it, it's amazing to be able to share in that with them, because if you've been helping them get their pitch and then they win a pitch prize, like all of that work you see coming to fruition, but you know that you're getting there 10 times faster by being in a collaborative space. And being an entrepreneur can be quite lonely. You can get a bit cabin fevery, just you and both facing the same problems, you're trying to find a solution, and then you're here and someone just says something or gives you the space to discuss it with a fresh pair of eyes, and that side of it is completely invaluable. It's priceless support, and it's really, yeah, wonderful to be a part of.
The
This is the Brighton Business Show on Radio Reverb. I'm Laura Evans. Check out my podcast on iTunes or Podomatic. Please do subscribe. Don't miss out on any shows. I'm joined in the studio by Gail Bainbridge. Hello.
Hello.
You're here to talk about Time to Give.
I am, yes.
What's the crack?
What's the crack? So everyone should come and buy a ticket, obviously. Start with the pitch. Time to Give. I started it about this is the third year of running it now. And so the whole idea was that sometimes going out to a charity ball is quite expensive because they're trying to raise money. And as a small business owner, when I started out, that was mildly terrifying.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, how can I make that affordable and still make a difference to charities? And so I do some volunteering myself with some charities. And so I came up with the idea of having an auction where instead of bidding money to win the prizes, you bid your time. And then we end up with all these nice little pockets of time that we can match up with charities. So, you know, skilled time. So it could be someone like me, an accountant, or it could be a web designer, or it could be someone who's got social media skills or marketing. And we match them up with one of 10 local charities that are there on the evening as well, for skills that they need for the charity. So that's the general theme.
And it's good fun. I've been to the last couple that you've done. It's a good laugh.
It's such good fun. Yeah. And we have amazing hosts. So we have Sophie Corbett and Guy Lloyd are the hosts. They make it really good fun. And it's just got a really good vibe.
Yeah. And it's, I think a lot of people probably do want to do some charity work and they kind of think, oh, what shall I do? And this is quite a fun way to get into it for a business.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, we have the charities there on the night as well. So each table has a charity on it. So you can get to know them over dinner and understand a bit more about what they do. And if you're drawn to a particular charity, you can pledge some hours to them. You don't have to take part in the auction. And obviously the auction is just a fun way of doing that and not just, you know, all forms and
a nice competitive way as well.
Yeah, exactly. And when people have had a couple of glasses of wine, they get a bit carried away. No.
I'm glad that you kind of, because it was previously in the Christmas period, which is very busy, although it is kind of historically a time of giving, but I'm quite glad that you kind of moved it a bit later in the year.
Yeah, so I've got some event partners this year, which is really great. So the Chamber of Commerce are helping organise and Community Works. And I've also had some help from Vicky from Plus Accounting and from Gemma at Metro Bank. And now I'm panicking, I'm going to forget someone. Tracy from Giving Times and Mike Wardle from Business in the Community. So just having the team together, they came up with loads of new ideas, one of which was, you know, why don't we move it to the spring? It's not as busy. It's kind of like that time of year when it's just coming out of the winter. It's a nice time to have a party.
Yeah, I mean, because it was a big responsibility for you to be doing yourself, because you are running a business as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, just that thing. It's really great. So the first 2 years were quite tough. I did have some help last year from Business in the Community as well, which was great. But to have a team on board this year has just made it so much more manageable and just brings more people in. Like, there's more contacts, you know, there's going to be different people there this year. So there's more and more people getting connected to the charities and the work that they do. So all the charities are local charity, so all the beneficiaries from the charities are based in Brighton and Hove. So it's just a really good way of bringing the businesses together to make a difference in the city, I think.
And it's fun because, you know, some people it's networking, some people it's supporting a charity, and for some people it's just a nice dinner and a chance to wear a dress.
Well, exactly. And it's a nice place, isn't it? You don't get to go to the Grand and dress up very often, right? And have a nice three-course dinner. I don't anyway. So, yeah, it's a really fun night out. Like you say, people are there for different reasons. There's networking and just having a laugh. Some people stay for the dancing at the end and some people call it a night and go home. But
and some of the charities and kind of groups that you've got there, you know, what kind of people could companies be getting involved with?
So this year we've got Brighton and Hove City Partnership for Education, and we've got Headway East Sussex and Ronald McDonald House, the Carers Centre, Mind Out, Team Dominica, Rhythmics, the Survivors Network, Fair Share Sussex and Carousel. So they're really like broad range of charities, you know, covering different issues. So whatever you're passionate about, there'll be something there for you to match up against. It might be that you're particularly passionate about the issue that the charity addresses, or it might just be that the volunteering opportunity appeals to you. You know, maybe one of them wants a spokesperson or a trustee or a web designer, and that's your thing. So there's two ways to match up with people, either because you're passionate about the same issue or just because you've got the skill that would really help them out. And some of last year's people that donated time are still involved with the charities that they matched up with. So they've done their volunteering and then they've gone on to hold fundraisers and, you know, they're still raising money and being involved in the charities, which is actually the purpose. You know, it's a fun night, but if we can connect businesses and charities and use people's business skills matched with the passion of the people that are running the charities, we just get to make a bigger impact.
Yeah, and what a nice feeling, because sometimes when you're running a commercial business with a lot of corporate clients, some people don't necessarily ever work with these charities. A bit of a feel-good factor, really, isn't it, to feel that you've done something nice?
Like I said, I mean, I've been a trustee for a small charity now for 5 years, and just the people that I've met, like, their generosity, their kindness, they go the extra mile to help you out. It's just a different world. I'm not saying all business owners are not that, but just there's something about the vibe in the charity world and the way that they kind of bring you in to be part of their kind of family and connections. It's really different, and it's just great for your personal growth as well, I guess.
So remind us, when is it?
It's on the 6th of April.
How much?
It is £65 for a ticket.
Bargain.
Yes, total bargain. Get that's three dinner course that. Dinner, wine, yeah, coffee, dancing.
And if people want to find out more, what's your website?
It's www.timetogive.org.uk.
And it's the number two. Link in the copy. Check it out. Get along there.
Definitely.
It's great fun. And Gail, thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you.
Keep safe and get around Brighton and Hove with Streamline 2020, proud supporter of Radio Reverb.
This is Radio Reverb, the Brighton Business Show, sponsored by Entrepreneurial Spark. I'm Laura Evans. Tweet me at Laura of Brighton. Do you want to win a heap of support for your business? Jessica Cheatham of Always Possible is here to tell us how. Hello.
Hi, hello.
How are you doing?
Yeah, very good, thanks.
So tell us about what you do as a company, and then we'll talk a bit about the competition.
Yeah, so Always Possible is a catalyst organisation. We work with brilliant people and brilliant organisations to help them to develop, to take their ideas to the next stage, to help them overcome a problem or an issue that they're working on. So our clients range through the arts, through the charity sector, through education, and you know, the council, local government, that sort of thing. So we just get really into the heart of what that person or project needs. And we can do strategy days, we can do your kind of nuts and bolts admin and be the team behind your team to make that happen. You know, we can broker relationships and help you with fundraising. It really is whatever it takes to make that happen for you.
Super level support.
Yeah.
And you have a exciting competition that you're running at the moment. So tell us about that.
Yeah. So it's been running since January. It's the Challenge Always Possible competition. And we've been asking people if they have something that they want to challenge us to solve, to create a short video. Most of them are just about a minute, filmed on a smartphone, that sort of thing. And they upload them to YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. It doesn't matter, you just need to tag Challenge Always Possible and email us challenge@alwayspossible.co.uk, and then we can watch the entries and just see who you are as an organisation, what it is that you might need, and yeah, then we sort of see who has the best pitch.
And they win a load of business support from this. So tell us about what they could, what can they, what's the prize, what can they use it for?
as you say, it's completely bespoke. So the first thing that will happen is that we'll get in touch with the winner. So, for example, our January winner is the Institute for Youth Workers. And we've spoken to their chair, and he was talking about sort of needing a little bit of support with their professional development programme and thinking about how to get that out there so that they unite youth workers all across the country, so just to help them to reach more people. So it's totally, you know, we're still in the process of talking with them and seeing exactly what they need and what support they, you know, we put together two packages they can decide. Because our support with any organisation is always very bespoke to their needs, their team, what it is that they're doing. So it could be that you're thinking about trying to reach a new audience. It could be that you're thinking about your branding, or maybe it's more internal, like not knowing how to take things on to the next stage, or you want to change your legal status or something. It's really very flexible.
And it, I mean, this must constitute like thousands of pounds of support, basically.
Yeah, it's over £10,000 that we're giving away for free. Support.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And what inspired you to do this competition?
So we really think that it's important to get out there and meeting people and talking to them about their businesses and being able to find out more about what they need and what they're looking to do. So it's a lot about just expanding the people that we know.
Yeah. And what a fun way to get some cool video content as well. I mean, everyone knows I'm always plugging my video stuff, so but people should be doing that. And it's kind of a fun challenge to kind of put people on the spot and make them talk about their business. It's a bit nerve-wracking for a lot of people, I know, because doing the elevator pitch as part of the show, but it's a great thing for people to do. It's a great thing to practice talking about your business.
Definitely. And we also wanted to take it away from too much kind of always having to write lots about who you are and it being very formal. This isn't formal. It really is a kind of a chance for you to show who you are within that minute or so that you film. You can be creative and a little bit different. We like that.
Yeah, because competition entries, writing them, can get a bit boring, can't it?
A bit samey. Yeah, and you lose sight a little bit of the passion. So that's what's really been communicated extremely well in the pitches we've had so far.
And for you judging it, like, this is a lot more interesting than reading a bunch of entries. You must have seen some really interesting videos.
Some extremely interesting videos, yeah. It's been so hard to choose the January and February winners, and I think it will be just as hard for March. Like, the quality that we've had has been extremely high. We've been very impressed and excited.
But, so listeners, it won't take them too long to record a video. They need to get onto it as well, because the closing date is quite soon.
Yeah, it's the end of March. If they can get it to us by the end of March, then they'll be in with a shot.
So don't delay. If you're listening, do it now, right now. Get your competition entry in. Sounds like a fantastic opportunity. How can people, what's your website? How can people find out more?
Yeah, so we've got a dedicated page on our website. If you go to www.alwayspossible.co.uk, you can find it there.
Excellent. Guys, don't wait. Any top tips?
Just express yourselves and what your business is about within it.
Great. Jessica, that's brilliant. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you. Cheers.
You're listening to the Brighton Business Show on Radio Reverb. It's that special time of the show again.
Sophie's marketing mega
tips. I can't hear anything through my headphones.
Oh, don't worry, you missed out, but I can send you the MP3.
Oh yeah, please do. I can listen to it. It's my bedtime song.
You can just listen to it again and again, because I know you particularly enjoy that.
I do. I think it's very special.
I didn't add any extra to it this week, this month. So
do you usually add something extra to it?
Well, I added that champagne pop last time. Yeah, and the kids going, yay! Because you are very glamorous.
So classy.
So glamorous. What have you been up to?
I have been just working a lot, which is good because we have been. I'm now kind of working a lot more with the website of BuzzBuzz, and doing sort of, we're taking more of a content first approach to all of our builds, which is really great. But it's a lot of work because we have very like big new clients, which is exciting.
Awesome.
But it means, I'm currently looking at City College's content architecture, and it is pretty vast, as I'm sure you can imagine, because there's a lot of courses, and I'm just like, oh gosh, okay. But it'll be good. It'll be great when it sort of comes together.
I mentioned in the news as well that you're doing the Y26 website rebuild.
Yes,
how exciting.
Are.
That's really cool.
It's a really big opportunity, and it's taken quite a long time. It's been a long process to get to this stage. So it's great, really great.
They really need it as well, like, bless them. But I mean, it's such a great organisation. I've had them on the show a bunch of times, but it'll be really good to see kind of a vibrant new website. Because as long as I can remember, it's kind of been as it
is
now.
Yeah, it's kind of a bit of a strange one at the moment, isn't it? It looks a little bit like, I don't know, like a forum meets some kind of like message board type style. So we will turn it into a beautiful, seamless user experience.
That would be awesome. Cool.
And I'm sure I will be getting involved in looking at how the content should be structured on that too.
And have you done any, you're always doing a lot of interesting public speaking, aren't you? Have you done any of that lately? I think you've got something big coming up in April, haven't you?
Yeah, I've got, I'm doing Brighton SEO again, and it was last minute, so I'm a bit like, oh, okay. but I have done the talk before. It's the psychology of language for paid search.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to wax lyrical about why it's really important to think about who you're talking to and why they should care.
How exciting as well to be doing Brighton SEO, massive marketing conference, one of the best.
Yeah, it is really great. Last year, I did it for the first time last year in September, and it was just a real privilege. So to be asked to come back again is great. And they're basically, the best of the industry are there. So hopefully I can give some good, useful tips to them.
Yeah, I think it's worth following them on YouTube as well. They might be releasing some videos soon.
So. Oh, mightn't they?
That's all I'm going to say about that.
Who might have done those videos, Laura?
I don't know. Plug, plug, plug. unless they all get deleted or they don't, something horrible will happen now that I've mentioned it. Touch wood.
This is Laura Evans, ladies and gentlemen.
Don't jinx it.
Videographer extraordinaire.
Do you get paranoid about jinxing things sometimes?
Yeah, but I'm not sure I believe it really happens. But then this might be the time it happens.
God, don't say that, Sophie.
Sorry, it's not the time it happens. Am I jinxing it further? I don't even know anymore.
How did we fall down this horrible black hole?
Nick, get out.
Anyway, what we're actually going to talk about this month is we're talking about public speaking because you've done loads of it. Like, I know you've really challenged yourself this year to go out and do it.
Yeah.
And you've got some really great gigs. You've done some cool things. And I thought it would be great to kind of share some of that experience and some tips and that. And, you know, I've done a lot of public speaking too. And I mean, this is kind of a weird form of it.
Mm-hmm.
But things like, introducing speakers at events. Like, I started off small. Mm-hmm. And then last week I did a 2-hour lecture at Brighton Uni.
Did you? Yeah. Amazing. What was that on?
It was about increasing your online presence. But usually I do it kind of around something to do with marketing, or I prefer kind of content production stuff like video or podcast, because it's more kind of what I do day to day. But yeah, you've really kind of pushed yourself as well. So is this something that you've done for years or...?
Have I done it for years? Well, I used to be an English teacher.
Did you? No way.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I've learned something new about you.
That's public speaking, and that's more terrifying, actually, going up in front of a classroom full of teenagers and being, you know, having to, because I was quite young when I started. I was only 21. 22, and so it was quite a challenge, and I use a lot of that sort of in when I do workshops now, or when I do more kind of bigger conference type talks, just kind of thinking about, I think the most important thing is to have confidence in what you're saying and know that you're the expert and they're there because you do have something worth saying, and it's kind of, if you can find a way to structure that to show your passion at the same time, then you're going to have a really engaging talk.
Yeah. And the more research and prep you can do, the better, really, because then you'll feel more comfortable going in. Like, that's kind of my experience. And it's interesting that you said, like, know that you kind of deserve to be there, because a lot of people feel imposter syndrome. But I kind of got to the stage where I was like, if you're being asked to speak, you deserve to be there. Like, do still work hard. And
exactly, yeah.
There are obviously some things that are kind of techniques that you can use in practice that will help, but you do deserve to speak if you've been asked.
Yeah, exactly. I actually got contacted by the BBC the other day to ask me to go on a debate show on the TV.
Very glamorous.
It was a bit random, because it was about an article I wrote for the Huffington Post about should the churches pay taxes? And I think they wanted to meet. I know, and I'm not an expert on church tax. I just thought it was interesting and wrote an article about it, did some research. I was definitely up for it, but I think they wanted me to be more inflammatory than I was prepared to be. Yeah. But that would have been a really interesting experience, because that would have been live and a debate, and I didn't know what I was talking about. Like, no, they shouldn't, because actually... I do think they shouldn't, because they look after most of our national heritage sites.
Oh, that's interesting.
Thank you, Church of England. You make us a more beautiful place.
I'm learning much today.
See, I'm in teacher mode now.
In terms of practical tips as well, a few things I would say is that you can use, like, lozenges. So I use a lozenge called Vocal Zone that singers use, and it kind of just clears their throat a bit, basically. That's great if you're going to go and speak. And I've always, oh my God, I'm always banging on about green apples, but eat a green apple, it warms up your jaw, they're super tasty, it's well healthy, it keeps your mouth moist. It tends to stop, you know, when people make this...
I literally have never, ever once thought about my vocal cords or my mouth, like, moistness. Did you not, ever, what, before I go on to sort.
I think if some people get nervous, they get dry mouth.
Oh, yeah, and then you're like...
Yeah, and you might not want to drink a lot of water before you go into a long talk.
You need to go to the loo, yeah.
So, green apples, I mean, I am a bit kind of crazy about apples too, so I get teased by my friends that I just constantly eat apples. Yeah, but it's true.
That's a good thing.
But the crunchy green ones, good to kind of warm up your jaw, and it stops that tutting sound that usually I try to cut out of interviews because it's a bit of an unpleasant sound, but that kind of the tongue sticking to the top of your mouth, it helps to resent some of that.
Okay, I'll give that a try in April when I go on Brighton SEO again. I think for me one of the most important things, and it's not really something you can control, but it is something I think you have the right to be quite adamant about when you are asked to do these talking things, is like how the audience is set up in relation to where you are. I did a talk at Integrated Live, and they had underestimated how many people would want to be in that talk, and which is great, yeah. but it was really actually awful, because I was in this tiny auditorium, kind of in this trade show, giant trade show in the XL Centre, tiny little space, and people were sort of all around, like in the walkway, everywhere, and like really close to me, and I felt really panicky, and I spent the whole talk trying not to have a panic attack. Yeah. So it wasn't great, to be honest with you, and I just felt really proud of myself for not like crying on the floor.
Well done, because that sounds that sounds horrific.
It was awful, and I think it's really important that everybody, you've got enough space between you and the audience to compose yourself and not feel like they're on top of you.
I try and make, it makes me feel, I'm more comfortable talking to people in like a one-to-one or a small group situation just generally. So I try and focus on a person, not the same person all the way through, because that's just weird. but I'll kind of move from person to person. But if in that moment I'm focused on one person, I feel like I'm making a bit of a connection with them. They interact more with the session. And it makes me feel a bit more like I can just trick my brain and go, no, you're just talking to one person, not a room full of a lot of people.
It's when you start to sort of look around, and then there's always going to be that thing of like, are they bored? Do they care? Do I even make any sense? So just to try not to let your brain wander down that line, because then you really lose your thread, and it sort of gets not a great situation.
I have looked at people in lectures before, and I've thought, God, they look really bored or they're fiddling. But after they've come up and talked to me, and they've found it really useful and interesting, it's like, well, it's not necessarily how it appears. That people kind of, I mean, I fiddle when I listen to a talk, and I'm drawing and making notes and stuff like that, but I'm listening and I'm finding it useful necessarily. But yes, not necessarily everyone will make eye contact with you. Some people feel uncomfortable making eye contact.
Yeah, they do, and they don't like it when you're sort of looking at them and
yeah, look at them, single them out.
Yeah, oh, well, yeah, and just
took off the week.
Why are you not taking notes?
I also try and break up any talks with exercises to do, like to.
We're not in a big conference situation, though.
Maybe, or I'll have like, yeah, because I guess that works particularly well with a kind of a lecture or a talk.
Mm-hmm.
Like do this kind of write a few notes now kind of thing, or write down your ideas for this. But for me, it just feels like, I feel like it's a bit of a kind of a escape. Even if it's like a minute, it just gives me a little chill
time. You should have been a teacher. That is exactly what I used to do.
I should not be a teacher, Sophie. just should not.
Get them to do the work and just kind of walk around and look at them and pretend like you're, you know, doing something important.
Is that what being a teacher is?
The talk I'm doing at Brighton SEO, I've actually split it. I've kind of structured it as a psychology 101 type lesson. So it's like lesson one to kind of, I think it's quite important to think about how you structure your talk to not kind of ramble on. And sometimes I've seen people do talks where you're not exactly sure what they're trying to get at, and I always like to know exactly what I'm learning as I'm learning it, and not, you know, kind of, oh, okay, that's what the point of that was.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, just to split it into smaller chunks makes that a lot easier.
I like structure, clear structure.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Otherwise, I just drift off into a world of my own.
I couldn't be a teacher. I do coaching and I do these kind of, but I couldn't. Being a teacher is a hard job.
Yeah.
It's the kids. Imagine trying to keep kids' attention.
Well, actually, because I've taught from the youngest were 2 and the oldest were probably in their 70s. And because it was English language, and I find the older ones were the worst.
Really,
like the young ones is great fun because you don't have to really speak that much of the same language, and you can be on the moon 1 minute and like on a beach in Barbados the next minute because they've got such amazing imaginations. But the old ones have got, because I was young, they just judged me and thought I didn't know what I was talking about, even though. Mm. English, I clearly spoke English better than they did, so.
You know what, Sophie, all the travelling you do, I actually do expect you to 1 minute be on the beach and the next minute be on the moon. So.
One day, Laura, one day. Yes, that's kind of the dream of 2018.
Well.
The moon.
more on that next month. I'm afraid we're going to have to wrap it up.
Okay.
Thank you, Sophie, for coming in.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Cheers. You've been listening to the Brighton Business Show with Laura Evans on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, on DAB Radio, or online at radioreverb.com, or by podcast, search iTunes, or visit laura-brighton.podomatic.com. Make sure you subscribe. Thank you to today's guests and contributors, and to our sponsor, Entrepreneurial Spark. Let me know if you have any interesting business news or events coming up. Best to just go via my website, www.lauraofbrighton.co.uk, or tweet me at Laura of Brighton. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you next month.